A whole gang of media snoopers, including Jonathan Marks, scans from D.C. to daylight every Thursday here on Radio Netherlands. Their super-duper whopper-doppler receiver gizmos pick out the essence of what's happening in the world of international broadcasting. Radio Netherlands, we have the technology.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
By shortwave, medium wave, satellite, and the internet, this is the Dutch International Service, Radio Netherlands. Media Network. A regular survey of communications developments produced and presented by Diana Jansen and Jonathan Marks.
Yes, and from DC to daylight, Media Network covers it all, providing it's interesting, mind you. Coming up later this month, we'll be exploring very low frequencies and some unique recordings made a few days ago. And later on in this week's program, lots of winners to announce. So I hope that reception is okay if you're listening on shortwave.
First, after quite a bit of hassle with the new digital telephone exchange, we've now bought a completely different voicemail system here to handle calls to the Radio Netherlands answer line. We value the effort you make to call us, and we've been disappointed at the poor audio quality delivered by the digital system up until now, especially as you'd expect digital to be better than analogue. Well, the switch over to the new system was yesterday. The following calls came in just before all that.
Call and talk. Radio Netherlands answer line is open 24 hours a day for comments and questions about any of our English language programs. Now, let's check out the current crop of calls.
Hello, this is Michael Lang calling from Hamburg in Germany. I heard the review of the Sony SW600 on today's Media Network. I'm a sucker for these reviews since 12 years. Here is one suggestion. I think it would be interesting to compare the medium wave part of a radio like the SW600 with the one of the General Electric Super Radio. The latter seems to be the medium wave radio, at least in the US. And I think, Jonathan, you once told that you have a super radio.
Yes, indeed. You have a very good memory. I have the second version of the GE Super Radio, which, in my opinion, was one of the best medium wave transistor radios ever made. It's got a huge speaker inside it, which makes listening to frequencies like our outlet on 1440 kHz as good as FM. I think the best way to describe the audio is mellow. However, that radio is an exception rather than the rule. I take your point about testing medium wave performance, Michiel.
Next caller is Tim Hendel.
This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville, Alabama, USA. I'd like to congratulate you on the review of the Sony ICF SW600. It gave us a good feel for what this radio was like. But I really want to talk about something that you talked about last week. I was not able to call. You discussed a device that is planned to be manufactured. With this device, you could download an audio program from the internet and then carry it around in some kind of portable unit. Since you didn't give any description of this device, I assume that it's still in the planning stage.
Yes, it's vaporware at the moment, Tim. But if there's an opportunity for listeners to give input in the design, we'll feature it again in the program.
Now, we've made some slight changes to our English language transmission schedule on shortwave beam towards Asia. So here's a quick summary of what we've done. At midnight 30 UTC, the transmission via a transmitter in Tashkent has dropped 9860, and we've moved down 5 kHz to 9855.
The second change is at 0930 UTC for 2 hours via a transmitter in Irkutsk. 13705 has changed to 13710 kHz, and Arthur Cushion tells us that it's working well in the Pacific. And lastly, 1530 to 1625 UTC, also to Asia, we've dropped 15585 and replaced it with 12090 kHz because of changing propagation conditions.
Well, what if you're in Asia rather than broadcasting to that continent? Well, Victor Gunatilica is on the receiving end of things. He's on the line now from Colombo with a couple of tips. What's the most difficult station for you to hear?
Well, this is a really interesting DX catch, and I was tipped off by Sunil Deep in India, Radio Miami International, 9955 kHz, and reception is possible at 1R UTC with a clear station identification. and the reception goes on till about 45 minutes after that, till about 1:45 when the station fades out. It's a real DX catch, and I'm really happy to hear this station, which I've been looking for many years, Jonathan.
Victor, you talked about jamming on The Voice of Tibet in a recent program, but it seems there is jamming on a station not too far away from where you are in Colombo, Sri Lanka.
Yes, The Voice of the Tamil Tiger has always been jammed by the Sri Lankan government. And right now, the station is operating on 100 megahertz in the FM band, but the station is always being followed by the Sri Lankan jammers. So it's a cat-and-mouse game where The Voice of the Tiger is concerned, Jonathan.
But who's now in control of the northern part of the island?
Well, after a series of military operations, the government forces were able to take control of the Jaffna Peninsula, Jonathan. The government is now restoring some form of electricity, and the batteries are being sent to the north. So people are again listening widely to radio, and friends in the north tell me that shortwave listening is the outlet to the world.
Victor, thanks for joining us. And from analog, let's go to digital.
The countdown to the festivities has started. Stay tuned throughout the next 12 months as we prepare to celebrate 50 years of Radio Netherlands and no less than 70 years of international broadcasting from Holland.
Time now to answer a letter from Michael Schmidt, who lives in Essen in Germany, who heard Diana and I talking about digital audio broadcasting and some trials going on in Germany at the moment. He notes it's been very, very quiet from the receiver manufacturing side, so what on earth's going on? Well, June 25th may go down as an important day in Dutch media history books. At a hotel on the outskirts of Utrecht, the first Digital Audio Broadcasting Users Conference was held, marking the start of the Dutch DAB pilot scheme. Commercial and public broadcasters were well represented, although potential data casters were conspicuous by their absence. European industry has spent the last 10 years developing DAB as part of the Eureka scheme. In short, when US President Ronald Reagan announced the Star Wars project, Europe decided it needed a similar high-tech push, but this time for civilian purposes. After $30 million US dollars of investment by one major European electronics giant alone, it's now time to get DAB up and running. The Netherlands will introduce DAB officially at the same time as Germany, in other words, in August of 1997, with the first consumer receivers coming onto the world market towards the end of next year. These are going to be car radios, and it's clear that the first DAB sets will be more than one box. There's a control unit that fits into the standard dashboard holder and a box of sophisticated electronics that you'll have to stow away somewhere in the trunk or boot of the car. No one's talking about prices yet, but you're going to have to pay heavily to be one of the early adopters of this new technology. This generation of DAB receivers uses a lot of power, which is why companies like Philips, Blaupunkt and Grundig are forced to concentrate on car radios first, even though in the Netherlands only around 10% of radio listening takes place in the car. In fact, that's quite short compared to neighbouring countries, but that's simply because most people in the Netherlands commute less than 10 miles or 18 kilometres to get to work. Hence, if they listen to the radio, it's not for all that long. There are 6 million cars registered with the Dutch road licensing authorities, but the electronics industry here is clearly concerned about how they're going to sell DAB to the general public. Car radios, remember, are sold through entirely different outlets than portable sets. The reason that only 20% of car radios in the Netherlands are equipped to receive the Radio Data System, RDS, even after years of promotion, is basically because the dealer in the car radio showroom isn't able to explain in simple terms the benefits of paying extra to get a radio with RDS. So it's not surprising that industry officials are cautiously worried about the best way to launch digital audio broadcasting next year. On average, people in the Netherlands change their car radio every 8 years, so the introduction of car radios with DAB isn't going to be an overnight success. Around 150,000 car radios are sold annually in this country, of 15 million people. However, it's already clear that DAB will simply stand for dead and buried if there's not enough new software on the digital radio dial by the time these sets are launched next year. Commercial broadcasters in the Netherlands say that DAB is certainly dead if they're not involved as program suppliers. but no one's going to make money out of DAB for several years to come, maybe as long as a decade. Public broadcasters, on the other hand, hope that DAB will allow them to make new forms of programming and are busy investigating ways to achieve this goal. Radio E, a joint venture between BBC, Radio Netherlands, Deutsche Welle and Radio France International, is taking an active part in the Dutch DAB pilot trial, providing a four-language stream of programming to demonstrate the flexibility of the new Eureka 147 standard.
Radio E.
Des radios internationales européennes réalisent des programmes pour l'Europe.
Radio E mise sur la technologie la plus moderne, le digital audio broadcasting.
Le DAB assure une qualité sonore maximale actuellement.
Door de samenwerking in Radio E bouwen wij aan het Europa van morgen. Vandaag in vier talen. Maar wie weet wat de toekomst brengt.
Radio E está compuesta de un grupo de emisoras de radio internacionales que realiza programas en francés, alemán, inglés, holandés y próximamente en español.
Radio yes, who knows what the future will bring. And as you can hear, Radio E is working in Dutch, English, French and German, and one day maybe in Spanish and who knows other languages of Southern Europe. On the hardware side, a series of professional DAB receivers is being made at the moment. These differ from the consumer sets to be launched next year in that they have all kinds of facilities to receive and program data streams alongside the radio signal. These have been ordered by several broadcasters, including Radio Netherlands, and once they're delivered, in around 3 months' time, the current series of on-air experiments will be upgraded to regular trials of DAB here in the Netherlands. And at that point, receiver manufacturers say they'll discuss their plans for the future, but not before.
When you're racing along the information superhighway, it's great to know that Diana Jansen knows the URL. So listen to what she says and do what she tells you to do.
A growing number of Dutch speakers is living and working outside the Dutch borders. Now, in addition to radio broadcasts via shortwave and satellite, as from this past Monday, July 1st, Radio Netherlands is offering a daily email service in the Dutch language via the internet.
This daily electronic newsletter is unique because once you subscribe, news from home drops into your electronic mailbox up to twice a day. Many Dutch speakers are working in non-governmental organisations in more remote parts of the world. Phone connections do not permit the kinds of speeds needed for the graphics on the World Wide Web. Electronic mail, however, is possible and is fast becoming the way to reach these more way-out places without a regular postal service.
We hope that Dutch speakers will find this new service a useful supplement to our radio and television broadcasts. Educational organisations teaching Dutch have also expressed interest in this topical access to the language. Radio Netherlands' Dutch newsletter is issued twice a day, one edition focusing on Dutch events, the other on Dutch views on international affairs. Subscriptions are free. Just send an email to listserv@rnw.nl. In the body of the message, you should write subscribe, news, and your full name.
And of course, being a Dutch newsletter, you spell news NIEUWS.
And of course, you can also check out the press release on Radio Netherlands' worldwide web pages.
Meanwhile, Media Network correspondent Tom Sundström reports that with no advance notice, the Voice of Russia has surfaced on the web. The site is all in English. A large graphic slows the initial loading a bit, but once you've passed that, you find four buttons in all. They're for the World Service, about the station, postal addresses and phone numbers, and a feedback button that opens the email component of your browser.
The World Service page offers the transmission schedule in English, arranged by target area and by time. We spot-checked the North American listings and found frequencies listed that are not on the air. But the differences are no worse than the printed material sent by the regular post. But it's a start. You can check out the following address, www.vor.ru. And given the difficulties with postal mail service into and out of Russia, it's likely that electronic communications are better and more reliable.
Now, a cliché song if ever there was one. but it leads us very nicely into the next item, I hope.
Some girls like to buy new shoes, and others like driving trucks and wearing tattoos. There's only one thing that they all like, a bunch of girls, they wanna have lunch. Oh, girls just wanna have lunch.
Diana will kill me after the show, but I digress. For on July 1st, a rather unique department at the Dutch Domestic Service closed its doors. There are no tears because the people involved knew that this day was coming and the work they set out to do 5 years ago has been completed. Dorette Kuipers is head of the NOS Gender Portrayal Department, which has been quite unique because it's concentrated on that aspect of the media without, for example, combining it with monitoring how minorities and disabled people are represented. Coming from abroad, I'm quite amazed that more women don't have higher managerial positions in the media, indeed in other industries too. Compared to some places in the English-speaking world, Canada for example, Holland appears quite sexist.
First of all, I think that most Dutch people don't agree with your conclusion that Dutch society is a rather sexist society. They think that they are rather progressive and modern and tolerant and not sexist at all. So that's one of the interesting aspects of having this gender portrayal department, that you can show them, illustrate mechanisms which confirm rather traditional patterns. I prefer to talk about traditional patterns more than talking about stereotypical patterns.
And part of that is obvious in the use of the Dutch language. There are two words for the word you in Dutch. One, u, is polite, if you don't know someone or want to show respect. The other is je, the more friendly form. Study of more than 300 hours of television revealed that, whatever their function, interviewers quickly address women in the friendly je form.
The hardest comparison you can make is with the language. Like you just say, the informal, the formal pronoun you. In France and in Germany, they will recognize it, but English-speaking persons, not that much.
A compilation video shows that women are often filmed from above, whereas men are filmed from below, making them look more authoritative. Just try it with any camera and you'll see what I mean. Some of that can be explained by the fact that there are more camera men than camera women, and that on average men are taller than women.
That makes it even more interesting to talk with program makers about it, because that means that they just can do something about it. They can use a tripod, or they can ask the camera person to bend the knees. In our society, it's, for example, not at all rare to have a female minister, so it is strange to interview a female minister and to focus with many of your questions on the fact that she is a woman, when it's not at all important and relevant.
In terms of the simply the faces that you see on Dutch TV, I mean, have you measured that? We know that in society it's 50-50, but I mean, is that reflected in what you see on, let's say, an evening's viewing on TV?
No way. We started our project with quantitative research. You have to know how is the balance in the 90s, because many people think that it's rather equal in Dutch media. Well, forget it. When you look, for example, experts, 18% of all the experts are female on Dutch television, which means 82% are men. On radio, the difference are even bigger. 10% of all the experts are women and 90% are men. And there you go when you say, well, that's how society is. Well, I doubt that, because society is changing. When you go to universities, more and more women are specializing themselves on certain themes. And except from that, I think that the task of a program maker is not purely reflect society. We all know that you will never be able, as a program maker, to reflect society in an objective way.
But you can also stimulate society in the way you're programming by actually showing that, indeed, you do treat men and women as equals.
Yes, exactly. What we try to do with this department is to challenge program makers to see it as an interesting aspect that they are able to offer the audience alternative images. And it's a pity when you confirm all the time the traditional patterns that the expert is a man, or that when you go to a couple for an interview that you ask the man all the financial questions and the woman all the questions dealing with the children, while the children are also his children and while the house is also owned by the woman. These kind of qualitative research are not being done abroad in the way we do it. But we are going to stimulate the exchange of these qualitative research results.
But now the 5 years are up and the department is closed. So what now?
The job is not finished yet. So I am rather optimistic about having a new project. But I think it's important to see it as a new project and not as a continuation of this. That's too easy. You get much more out of it if you make up the balance, write a new project plan, try to find money for that, and go in with new energy, and I think also with new people.
I was talking there to Dorette Kuipers.
And now, let's find out who won in the Media Network's 750th anniversary contest. Diana, here's the purpose-built cardboard box.
Yes, it seems like a million programs ago, but in fact it was only May the 2nd we announced a Media Network contest to beat all the other contests on international radio. We wanted you to answer three questions, and we were surprised to receive a total of 1,763 correct entries to the 750th show. Not bad, bearing in mind the limited publicity we did beforehand. A lot of postcards from India and plenty of emails as well. In short, a big success. Thanks to Esther van der Pluim, who's the secretary to the director of programs here at Radio Netherlands, she sifted through piles of entries and thus made a lot of the final sorting much easier.
Well, a little recap. We asked you three questions back in May. Question one, in what year did Media Network take to the airwaves? The answer was 1981. Before that, of course, there was DX Jukebox, and in the course of 1980, there were some changes made to the old programme, but the name change was in May of 1981.
Right, question two. How many hours of Media Network have hit the airwaves so far? We have logged 375 hours of programmes made. A few people cleverly pointed out that due to transmission breaks, some broadcasts have been lost over the years. And Miles Johnson from Oklahoma apparently records every edition and noted that for some years the average Media Network was 31 minutes 37 seconds long. Clever. Shame he got the starting date wrong.
Sorry, Miles. And for the last question, we asked you to write down one word to describe this programme, Media Network. The more creative, the better. Alan McKellar in Scotland said Media Network is an oyster. Always good, sometimes a pearl.
Marnix Barbiers in Ghent, Belgium says the show is gaaf, which is one of those Dutch words which is highly complimentary but difficult to accurately translate.
Objective, says Pius Apollo in Nairobi, Kenya, in reference to our receiver reviews. Thanks for your confidence.
Remarkable, says Uma Samuel in Uganda, whilst Abby Alexander says Media Network is riveting.
And so the list goes on. We've got here caring, where care stands for communication that's adaptive, responsive and encompassing. Radioactive came up a lot, as did addictive, compulsive, interactive, sparkling and cognitional.
Whoa, now, before people in white coats burst into the studio to take us away to the home for bewildered radio stars, I'm pretty sure the reason many people sat back and thought about a good word for the show could have been the special anniversary compact disc we're giving away. We're pressing 54 in total, which is a collection of jingles and highlights from the program's illustrious past.
And so, by the powers vested in me, here come the 50 names of the winners. George Henley in the UK.
Wade Smith in Canada.
Daniel Giraud in South Africa.
Nick Sharp in the UK.
Scott Snailham in Canada, who won't have to kill to get one of those special CDs.
Hisanobu Akatsuka in Japan.
Yuri Ilovsky in Ukraine.
Fred Parker in Britain. Lots of response from the UK, by the way, this time. Perhaps because of our outlet on 1440 kHz.
Move on. Laurie Kolk in Australia.
And Bernd Henning in Germany, who says Diana stands for DX Information and News Agency.
Oh, really? The next 10. Here they come.
Steve Kester in Florida, USA.
B.S. Fontaine in the south of France.
Norbert Lee in Malaysia.
Ian Black in Tasmania, Australia.
Joyce Thorner in New Jersey, USA.
Paul Carlson in Madison, Wisconsin, I know it well.
David Vickery in the UK.
Mark Peachman in New South Wales, Australia.
Alan Jarvie up there in Scotland.
Franz Schwartz in North Carolina, USA. Dig a bit deeper to bring out
André Schmidt in Lautert, Germany.
Bengt Aronson in Vaxo, Sweden.
Catherine Pierce in Masterton, New Zealand.
Henrik Clements in Bogota, Colombia.
Ashley Goldbranson in New Plymouth, in New Zealand.
Halfway through, Jeffrey Richardson in Delaware, USA.
Bill Gowlett in Warwickshire, in Britain.
Amy Alexander in Shillong, India.
Sunil Bala in Selangor in Malaysia.
Tariq Mustafa Zaidan in Cairo, Egypt. 20 to go.
Sudhindra K. from Mahara Nipeta in India.
Gregor Link from the lovely 18th District in Vienna, Austria. Know it well. Philip England in Llanelli, South Wales.
Uma Samuel from Iganga in Uganda.
Richard Barry in County Meath, Ireland.
R.B. Griffiths in South Australia.
Pius Apollo, yes, he's a winner from Nairobi, Kenya.
Milorad Ivanovic in Belgrade, Yugoslavia.
Anita Glockner in Pennsylvania, USA.
Marnix Barbiers in Ghent, yes, he won a CD.
Alan McKellar in Scotland.
Hideo Suzuki is a winner living in Japan.
And a CD will be on its way to Martin Elber in Wolfsburg, Germany.
Wojciech Zaremba in Poland is also a winner.
Violet Matosian, hope I've pronounced the name correctly, in Isfahan in Iran. Thanks for the beautiful entry.
John Sibbald in New South Wales.
Giovanni Pecunia in La Spezia in Italy.
Kevin Russell in the USA will get a gold CD if we can get a postal address from you. Email is not good enough.
Raghib Talukta in Dhaka in Bangladesh.
And last out of the cardboard box is Kayetan Okbehi in Onda State, Nigeria.
Congratulations. Now, wait, that's not all.
There's one more. His name is Paul Goliboski, and he's listening to this wireless show in Ontario, Canada, and he's hopefully going to be pleased. He's definitely won a CD, plus a ticket to the Dutch State Lottery, in which you could win up to 1 million Dutch guilders, and that's about $588,235 at the current exchange rate.
Wonder what that is in Canadian dollars. More than a fair share of entries from Canada, incidentally, from people listening to Media Network via the CBC overnight service. A full list of the winners has now been posted on our internet pages. But wherever you are, thanks for helping us to celebrate the future with the past.
Ladies and gentlemen, remember that Deanna and Jonathan use special receiving equipment to compile this program. Don't try this at home without parental supervision.
Well, we're having a disappointingly cool summer up here, although it's not quite as cold as New Zealand at the moment. Mind you, they're in winter, of course. Arthur Cushion is braving the bad weather in Invercargill, New Zealand. And Arthur, people in the neighbourhood have been out with the snow shovel, I believe.
We have. My wife, Val, has been out with the snow shovel. I can never remember in the long time we've been here, 50 years, having to do that. But we've had a certain change of weather, heavy snow, and a record frost of 13 degrees.
Now, you've just had the shortest day, which usually means the best time of year for listening to Medium Wave.
We had the shortest day, yes, and in that period, particularly from the Caribbean and Latin American area on Medium Wave, some very interesting signals, and those in the part of the Caribbean that you are aware of, on 8:30 Paradise, on 9:30 Antilles, 1025 Christian Caribbean Radio, and on 1310 Martinique. Lots of Colombians about, and HJJW, that's 1460, 15 kilowatt, heard around 0400. I finally received a verification. It was 7 years and 2 months since the time I posted, but they did send me an audio cassette, some photos, a letter, and some stickers.
That's a bit of a wait.
It is, yes. Well, it's apparently another friend of mine has got one back after 2 years, so they've got to change the policy. So HJJW on 1460 is worth a report these days.
Arthur, there's a new Nigerian opposition station which is putting together programs in Europe and feeding them by digital phone line to the Meyerton Shortwave Transmitting Center just outside Johannesburg. No mention is made, though, of the transmitter side on the air. Is it coming in loud and clear in New Zealand?
Yes, it's an excellent signal here. Really, it's just like a Channel African signal, really, when they were on 11900, 0600, 0630. But as of July 1, they've moved to 7195 and retimed the broadcast 2100, 2200 UTC. They did announce that they would be giving a telephone and fax number from the early July broadcast so that listeners can contact the station. But that's a change of frequency and time, 7195 kilohertz, 2100 to 2200 UTC.
Thanks, Arthur. More from him next week. We understand that frequency may change slightly very shortly because of interference from Radio Romania International. And that's all for this edition of Media Network from Diana and myself.
Have a pleasant weekend.
Copyright 1996.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.